You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask, the glory of the light of your gospel, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen. Love, love, love. All we need is love. It sounded better in the shower this morning. All we need is love, right? Well, yes, but it's a word so broadly used in our culture today, love, that you can hardly give it a definition without first putting it into context. I mean, you love your spouse, and you love ice cream. In our epistle lesson today, the Apostle Paul says, "The one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are all summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." As I once heard the Bishop of Costa Rica say during a youth mission trip, there are many ways to express love toward your neighbor, but there is only one way to express love toward God, and that is loving your neighbor. The thing is, love isn't always easy, is it? I mean, sometimes love can be simple, but other times, not so much. In fact, of all the ways there are to categorize love, and there are many, Greek language, for example, uses different words to differentiate between romantic love and parental love, or love between friends. Or a more recent categorization would be differentiating various love languages that people use. For example, encouraging people who express love with words, or touchy people who express love physically, and so on. But of all the ways there are to categorize love, to address the scripture lessons appointed for today, we could simply put love into one of two categories: love that is relatively easy and love that is more difficult. So that's what this sermon is about. To jump right into it, might be helpful for us to first consider the larger context of these verses from Romans chapter 13, which I just read. The one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Because of the 16 chapters that make up this letter, the first 11 are focused on Paul's theology of justification by faith, not works, which can really be summed up in one verse from the third chapter. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are justified by his grace as a gift. And after giving definition to this theology of justification by faith, Paul then spends the remaining chapters describing the practical implications of God's love, which is to say that Paul spends 11 chapters defining this theology of justification by faith, spelling out his convictions surrounding the unending, incomprehensible love of God, and then begins the second part of the letter, beginning with chapter 12, by saying, "I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Let your love be genuine." And through chapter 13, appointed for today, he continues on about this transforming love of God that enables us to let our love be genuine, loving our neighbors as ourselves, and thereby fulfilling the laws of God, which, again, let's be honest, can sometimes be anything but easy. Now, to be sure, sometimes love isn't so difficult because sometimes it's a want to. If it's buying a birthday present for a loved one or making a sacrifice for the church you care deeply about or anything in between, often the love we express through our behaviors and actions isn't all that difficult because it's driven by our desire to do so. It's a want to. But what happens when we don't want to? What does that look like? Well, like Jesus said in our gospel lesson appointed for today, if your brother, meaning another member of the church, sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have regained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. In other words, if reconciliation isn't going to happen, disassociate with him. Now, honestly, what do you think? Is that what you think of when you think about the Advent being your loving church family? Two or three of us knocking on your front door with a couple of things that we want to talk to you about? Or do you instead gravitate more towards something like the friendly smiles that greet you when you arrive on Sunday morning, or that time when one of the clergy was there to support you through the death of a loved one, or when an intercessory prayer team member at the Advent house was there to pray with you the week you were preparing to undergo surgery? What comes to mind when you think about how loving your church family is? Because I've come to believe that the most convincing and oftentimes more meaningful expressions of love that I've experienced over the course of my life didn't always feel warm and fuzzy at the time. For example, when I was young and foolish, and my parents, out of love, intervened with some corrective. Or when I was older and more stubborn, and my children intervened with some corrective. True story, not too long ago, we were having one of those beautiful family moments when everyone was in a really good mood and was engaged in the conversation, which, let's be honest, just isn't always the case, is it? Because usually at least one person has something that they're really stressing over or isn't all that interested in the topic of conversation or whatever. But this was just one of those times when everyone was engaged and it was all just really good. So it gets to be my turn to contribute to the conversation. And Dad goes away and the preacher comes out, which, spoiler alert, doesn't always work out so well. And to make things worse, I started doing this thing that my family and coworkers sometimes have to endure. I began repeating myself. It's a thing. I've already made my point, but I just keep on making it over and over and over again. It's just this thing that I do. And I've become self-aware enough as I've gotten older to where I'm at least sometimes mindful of it and can usually tell, usually by someone's body language, when the conversation is beginning to shut down because I've started doing it. Anyway, on this particular occasion, when I started repeating myself, one of my daughters, really can't remember which one, said, "Dad, you're doing it again." And it wasn't an attack, and it wasn't at all mean. In fact, it was so loving. She was simply letting me know that I was beginning to be annoying because she loves me. And although it stung a little, in that moment, I was later so proud because I was able to celebrate the fact as a father that my daughter had chosen to express difficult love. Now, that may be a silly example, but hopefully you get the point. And hopefully you've had similar interactions with those you care about. Talking about difficult love, tough love, saying yes to the sinner, but no to the sin. You know, it seems to me that one of the biggest challenges and opportunities facing the church today is our ability to witness to the rest of the world about what true love looks like. Because the way our culture so often defines love is so self-centered and misguided. True love is very oftentimes very difficult, even sacrificial, doing or saying the thing that may not bring at the time comfort, but rather discomfort, and maybe even awkwardness and alienation. Sadly, so many are either unable or unwilling to engage with others with that kind of love. Love which is often really just being truthful, simply calling a thing what it is. And sadly, it can be resisted because of the reciprocal expectations it can bring, which is to say, many individuals resist offering this kind of love because they don't want to receive it. In other words, I may not confront you and tell you what I probably should because I don't really want you to do that for me. But here's the thing. Without this kind of difficult love, we really can't be the body of Christ that we are called to be. Because ultimately, our love for one another is but an extension and expression and reflection of God's love for us. And think about it. God's love for us is defined on the hardwood of Jesus' cross. It isn't a sugar-coated, oh, don't go beating up on yourself kind of love that is always warm and snuggly. It's a love that unapologetically 100% says no to our sin. In fact, this is the good news of the gospel, is it not? That God was willing to love us when we weren't lovable. And being loved like that has the power to transform individuals and relationships and even communities. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. May it be so for you and for me and for all of us here at the Advent, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.